SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two, officially underway here on the Early Line, Tuesday morning edition. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Let's talk some NBA offseason rumors. And again, it begins with, finally, the trades are starting to move through here. We see John Collins going to the Utah Jazz, basically in a move where the Jazz say, hey, let's get bigger, a little bit more athletic here. We'll take on this contract. And also from an Atlanta side, just didn't work out with John Collins at this point, going in a different direction, picking up that trade exception, which should help them out. It's one of those trades that doesn't really open your eyes, but I feel like, Joe, it helped both teams here.
Win-win, Donnie. The any which way you cut it, because we knew Atlanta had to move on, maybe a year or two late, but they had to move on. They had to clear up some cap space. They were going to get crushed. And I do think it's also, it was pretty evident that Collins was going to be the odd one out, even though they gave him all that money and that extension. We had been hearing about his possible departure from there for a while. Apparently didn't get along with Trae Young. There were some issues in that locker room. It's kind of been a little dysfunctional in Atlanta. So this gives Utah an opportunity to take a 26-year-old seven-footer, who I do, and I think we both agree, is the sky is the limit for him, and put him next to a couple of other seven-footers and Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler, and now all of a sudden you got a couple of young draft picks that are there. There's a lot to be excited about if you're a Utah Jazz fan, and if you're Atlanta, you did exactly what you needed to do, an opportunity to go out and land one more big fish here with Trae Young.
How about this? All right. Now, we could spend three segments on talking about Damian Lillard. Let's start with the fun stuff here, Joe. What I mean by that is Damian Lillard and ownership are now going to meet. Both himself and his agent are going to see what the best plan is going to be. Dame has been in Portland since 2012. It is 2023 right now. So we're led to believe that over the years, we don't have too many conversations about rebuilding. And also, the joke I've been making for the past 2 years, Joe, has been, hey, Dame, the NBA fans care more about you winning than you actually do. It's all fine and dandy to say, I want to do it in Portland, but shutting it down at the end of the season just to preserve yourself, get your surgeries, and make sure you make the most money possible, and then continue to say you want to be in Portland, but behind the scenes, a different picture is being painted here. Let's just start there with Dame Lillard. Are you tired of Dame time? Hey, you know what? I want to be part of the process. I don't want to be part of the process. Hey, by the way, we've never talked to management even about the process. Can we believe any of this, Joe?
Well, listen, I think we can believe that Damian Lillard will not be a Portland Trailblazer next season. The only question, I don't think it's a matter of if, it's just a matter of who. Who is he going to? He continues to express interest in Miami. And either way, I think Portland is in a tough spot because he's been the face of that franchise, and any sort of divorce here is not going to be easy for this organization, or the fan base for that matter. But the reality is you didn't trade out of the pick with Scooter Henderson, right? You drafted him. You drafted him because he is Damian Lillard Jr. I mean, you drafted him because he is the kid that's going to replace Damian Lillard. You've got, you know, Anthony Simons also plays Lillard's spot. You got Sharp also plays. I mean, you have so many guards on this team right now. Either you have to trade them and go and get Lillard another superstar and keep him in Portland, at which particular point you're basically sacrificing the future, or you've got to go ahead and provide him his wish, send him to Miami, at which point you're not going to get what you might on the open market in return. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't here in Portland. It's a tough spot.
So welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line Tuesday morning edition right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Joe and Donnie here talking a little Portland Trailblazers basketball, and Damian Lillard's name continues to come up. And also, just to double down on your point, Joe, Didn't the ownership group already signal? Because Dame says, I don't want to really be here for a rebuild. You have the number three overall pick. If you move that for a Zion Williamson, that triggers there is no rebuild. And I'm not saying drafting Scoot Henderson necessarily is a rebuild. He's going to be a good basketball player. But that's the young talent infusion that you need to turn the page. So I do think Portland already sent, you know, one of those shots across the bow to say, hey, Dame, yeah, we'll talk to you. But Scoot is going to get a lot of playing time, and he's going to need the basketball as well. I think Dame might be out of town also. You take a look at Damian Lillard. His dream scenario that he points out here is that he wants to re-sign Jeremy Grant and get Draymond Green and run it. What? Forget about a championship. Does that team even get in the playoffs here? What is he talking about? That's the big three we want, Joe?
Yeah, no. You don't want any. That's going backwards. But again, this is a tough spot for the Blazers organization, because he's not an easy guy. We're still talking about a guy that has got some years left, right? He's on the way, you know, on the wrong side of the back nine here, but in the right spot, Lillard is running out of time to compete for a championship and do something that, quite honestly, no matter what Portland does, they're not going to be able to provide enough talent around him at this point to get him over the hump. So they're going to have to either, give him his wish, or they're going to have to bite the bullet and sacrifice the future. It's tough, man, being Portland right now. It really is.
I mean, Dame Lillard, 32 years old, had a career high 32 points per game last year. You take a look and say, Dame, how can you fit in the South Beach? I don't know. With the lowest scoring team in the NBA, he seems like it would fit like a glove down there. And you know, Spoelstra and Pat Riley would certainly make that work. And going from Portland to living on South Beach sounds like a win for everybody. Look at even the tax advantages that Dame Lillard would get on that monster contract that he does have. It makes all too much sense, which is why, Joe, it probably won't happen. Spotlight game coming up next. Rays Diamondbacks. Let's get after it.
Yep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Spotlight in Major League Baseball. Ooh, we got a pretty good series headed our direction, and that is the Rays and the Diamondbacks out in Arizona. We're going to take a deep dive into this game. Now, two teams that we basically have already previewed today. Take a look at the divisional standings. The Tampa Bay Rays in first place in their division, the American League East. And then we take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks in first place in their division in the National League West. Good pitching match here up here, by the way. Zach Gallen and Taj Bradley will be on the mound. But first, let's again take a quick look back there. The Rays, 54-27 on the season. If we look at their home record, we're talking about the Rays at 34-10. Donnie, why are you bringing up their home record? They're on the road. Exactly. 20-17 on the road. So still handling their business, but not nearly as dominant, Joe, on the road as they are at home. If we flip it over to the Arizona Diamondbacks, they actually got a nice mix. They're 47-32 on the season, 23-18 at home, 24-14 on the road. The win differential there, should I say the run differential, plus 36 here for the Diamondbacks, plus 150 for the Tampa Bay Rays. Just a broad picture before we get into some of the numbers here. Tonight, Rays versus Diamondbacks here. It's interesting here. You got that ace on the mound for the Diamondbacks. They're hoping for a dub tonight.
Yeah, no, they are. And you've got the young pitcher on the mound for Tampa, who had, a couple of rough starts. He was called up originally, right? Taj Bradley, he lit the world on fire. Then he was sent back down. Then he came back up, got lit up a couple of starts there. But he seems to have certainly found his groove here over the last couple of starts. So it's got the potential for a very interesting pitching matchup here tonight in that ballpark there with Gallen in them. But again, interleague play, not two teams that are very familiar with one another or see each other a whole lot. So there could be this, I think, is going to be one of two things, Donnie. We're either getting 15 runs or it's going to be 3 runs. And I don't think there's anything in the middle here.
dominant pitching performances. Let's take a look at the game itself here. Rays and the Diamondbacks' first pitch is going to be at 9:41 Eastern. Bradley is going to be on the mound here, the young flamethrower for the Rays. And then Zach Allen has been terrific here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The price point, take a look at this. That's why we spotlighted. Two good baseball teams. How about this? A -120 favorite for the home team, Zach Allen and the Diamondbacks, in a total that is listed at 8.5 in this game. So competitive all the way around. If we're just looking at the pitching matchup, you're probably going to trust Zach Allen a little bit more, obviously, than you would on Taj Bradley. Home in his ballpark, young kid pitching on the road. I would say a high leverage situation, because as you said, Joe, it isn't like it's going into Yankee Stadium as a division rival. You are going out on the West Coast. But if we take a look at Gallen, his past two starts, 14 innings combined, which meant 7 innings pitch against Cleveland, 7 inning pitch against Milwaukee. Not a ton of strikeouts here. Over those 14 innings, only 11 of those. But how about this? One earned run. A nice bounce back performance where he struggled a little bit on the road against the Detroit Tigers. If we take a look at Taj Bradley coming back after a game where he played versus Oakland, 4 1/3 there, gave up 2 earned runs, 3 runs overall, but did have 11 strikeouts. The game he just took on against Baltimore, very good performance. 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, and 1 earned run and 8 strikeouts. So Bradley coming in hot here today. If it was just a pitching matchup, take out the teams together, who are you going to trust in this environment? Would it be Zach Allen? Because by the way, Zach Allen, a +170 price to win the Cy Young in the National League. He's been dealing, Joe.
Well, he has been, but, you know, so the kid, you brought him up there with the 8 strikeouts. That's a pretty good Baltimore Orioles lineup. Good. But he didn't walk anybody. So that's the really good. Also, he has been much better on the road than he has been in Tampa, oddly enough. 2-1 with a 2.13 ERA as opposed to nearly 6 at home. He did get lit up in his 11 starts. The, the trop has been an issue for him, but he's been very comfortable on the road. We're getting two guys that seem to be very comfortable at this point in the season and have a plan as to what they're doing. If they both go out and execute, Donnie, I got to give the edge to the pitchers, but I don't know if I trust either bullpen. So I think any which way I'm looking at this game, I'm probably looking at the first 5, and I'm probably looking at an under number there if I can get 4, 4.5.
You know, it's interesting for Zach Gallen as well here, Joe. If you take a look at the month of April, he actually had 3 performances with strikeouts in the double-digit range, 12, 11, and 11. Since that late month surge there in April, he hasn't had more than 7 in a game, and he's only done that twice. Last 5 games, 7, 6, 5, 7, and 4. So we'll see if some of those bats can get the ball in play here for the Rays for themselves. If we line the game up, Zach Gallen over the past 30 days, obviously he's been a very good pitcher. Against right-handed batters, he's been electric. Take a look at this. 71 batters that he's faced, an 090 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 249. The story does change a little bit from the left-handed perspective, though. A 255 ISO and a 408 weighted on base percentage through 58 batters over the past 30 days. So if I'm trying to line up batters that I think can be in that plus environment and maybe get after Gallen, it would be Wander Franco as a switch hitter. Hold back from the left-hand side. Luke Rayleigh, a left-handed batter. Josh Lowe, a left-handed batter. Maybe at the end of the lineup, Mejia and Brujan. But if I'm just going to pick one guy, it's probably going to be Luke Rayleigh in the middle of that lineup. If we flip it over here to Tampa Bay's pitcher, Taj Bradley, take a look at him last 30 days. He's got good splits from both lefties and righties. 67 batters, Joe, he's faced from the left side, an 086 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 286 to righties, a 118 ISO and a 255 weighted on base percentage. Now, the starting part of this lineup here that we anticipate tonight for the Diamondbacks, 1 through 4, Perdomo, Marte, Carroll, and Walker all excel against right-handed pitching, which puts a nice little spotlight here on Corbin Carroll, one of the better young players in baseball, 22 years old, and they're sticking him in routinely in that lineup in that 3-hole tonight. I love what Corbin Carroll brings to the table, but again, both of these pitchers legitimate on the mound for sure.
No, they are. And this is going to line drawn in the sand here. Who do we trust more? You had mentioned 7-1 and in his 8 home starts is what Zach Gallen has been. He's been really, really good. Taj Bradley better on the road than he has been at home. You're also looking at a Diamondbacks lineup, I believe, that's 3rd in the National League in on-base percentage and runs per game. So the offense is, if Gallen and Taj Bradley are off a little bit here, Donnie, these lineups will feast. I have no doubt about again, my big concern with a game like this is what happens after Gallen and Bradley? That's the big question, because if either guy has to get pulled early because they, you know, a little less command, a little few more walks, yikes. Both have issues in the latter half of these games. So pick the guy you like the most in the early in and go with that way. And I would say maybe a no run in the first inning, expect the pitchers to have the upper hand, but that second or third time through the lineup, that may be where the fireworks happen.
Yeah, Rays baseball, certainly there. 3-1s, 4-2s, we might be winding up in that environment tonight. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, different environments, right? College baseball last night, just messing around. I didn't have any wagers on the game, but I said, what is the home run market in college baseball like? And, you know, Jack Taney down there for Florida was a plus 112 to hit a home run. A plus 112. There was at least a half dozen guys that were under 2-1 to hit a home run yesterday in Omaha. The reason why I bring that up is you take a look at Major League Baseball. Yeah, these are pro hitters, but going up against some pretty good pitchers. Look at the best odds on the board here. So I say lowest odds on the board. Christian Walker, plus 420 price to hit a home run. Isaac Paredes, plus 460. Luke Raley at a plus 480 price point. It's just funny to take a look at college baseball, the way it compares to Major League Baseball. But in the strikeout market, how about this? Both guys listed at 5.5 strikeouts. However, Bradley to go over his 5.5 at a plus 110 price. He's done very well over the past couple of games with strikeouts. Zach Allen, not so great. He's also a 5.5, but you're going to pay a minus 158 for that. Just quickly here, Bradley and Gallen, which guy would you have a free bet on to say he's getting 6+ strikeouts tonight?
I would go both. If I played one, I'd play the other because both are fully capable of doing it. And I think it's a little bit of a low number. The problem is neither of these two lineups strike out a lot. That's the problem, Donnie. They put the ball in play. That's why their on base percentages are so high. So tough environment for two pitchers.
Absolutely. You know what a tough environment is for Stephon Diggs? Just being in Buffalo. Let's preview the Buffalo Bills 2023 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number two. It's time for some football, and I keep on getting excited here. Joe, I don't know if you're the same as me, but when I get to the I don't wait for August. I don't wait for September and say, hey, you know, NFL games don't actually play until the first week of September. I get after it in July because, you know, I get excited. The Ravens are going to bring the rookies to camp on July 11th. So the minute I flip it over on the 4th of July, it's already football season to me. And anytime we can talk good football teams like the Buffalo Bills, I'm going to be in on it. So let's do a deep dive into the Buffalo Bills for the 23 season. One of those teams we all anticipated over the past 2 years to probably take that next step, win an AFC championship, get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. The talent absolutely is there. But let's start here. What has been missing for the Buffalo Bills the past couple of years? Is it just so simple like, hey, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, just retire so the Buffalo Bills can actually win the AFC? Talking about the Bills for the past couple of years here, Joe.
Well, I mean, listen, they've been that team that's right on the cusp, right? Because they have all of the ingredients that they need. They've got a, you know, one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, right? Josh Allen, who unfortunately here in, what is this, his 6th year now? Keeps making the same stupid mistakes down the stretch here, which is a bit of a problem with the turnover issues. I really thought with Von Miller on the team last year that was they had an issue getting after the quarterback, right? So the one great thing about the Buffalo Bills is that they've identified deficiencies each year, and then they've gone out to try to either draft or get some free agents to be able to fill that gap, right? They've got everything they could need. They get a great home court advantage. They got continuity in the coaching staff, although I think Brian Daboll leaving, set them back here a little bit offensively. But they worked it out, and they were in exactly the spot they wanted to be last year, but couldn't get it done when it mattered. Now we're dealing with rumors between there being maybe a falling out between Josh Allen and Diggs. But quite honestly, it's quarterbacks who make receivers, guys. Receivers don't make quarterbacks. So understand that whether it's Diggs or it's anybody else, Josh Allen is going to be just fine. I think everything centers around Josh Allen once again trying to elevate his game to the point where don't make the stupid mistakes. Stop fumbling when the game matters the most. Stop doing those types of things. And the defense... Yeah, we got no more Leslie Frazier now, so it does look like good old McDermott is going to be calling the shots on defense, which I do think is a good thing, but they need to get Von Miller back on that field. They need to figure out a way to make life miserable for the Joe Burrows of the world that they're going to have to go through, or the Patrick Mahomeses. You need defense to win, Donnie, and that's the one part of the Buffalo Bills that's been slightly missing over the last couple of seasons.
It really banks on Von Miller. If he comes back and is healthy, him and Gregory Rousseau on the opposite edges, that's exactly what you're talking for. And then you have Jones and Oliver at defensive tackle. That's a formidable front four they can certainly use. I'm not really in love with their offensive line, but usually athletic quarterbacks like Josh Allen can really mask that and make it happen. But even before we get into the schedule, you hit the nail on the head. The thing I could never understand is, look, I know wide receivers can be divas here. Stephon Diggs being upset can't be about his contract. He's got a massive deal when they traded for him from the Minnesota Vikings. And I say to myself, how could it possibly even be your usage in the offense? Did you see his numbers since being a Buffalo Bill? They're through the charts, some of the best in the NFL in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. So the fact of the matter is here, you watch Josh Allen and you say to yourself, how could there be a personality disagreement between Diggs and Josh Allen, and how deep is it? Because it can't be the part of the offense that Diggs is in. Are we going to see any issues here in the regular season between these two, Joe?
They better hope not. I mean, because it's you know, that is the kind of thing that will trickle down. And I can tell you this, Donnie, who, you know, anytime there's a rift between big name guys, sides are taken, right? I don't know anybody who would be on Stephon Diggs' side to go against Josh Allen in that locker room. So, you know, Diggs... they're tolerating your temper tantrums, and I get it because it comes from a place of wanting to win and being competitive and all that, yada, yada, yada. But it eventually gets to a point where now you're a distraction and you're more of an issue than you are a help. And if you are going to make people decide it's either you or Josh Allen, I can tell you right now, you'll be playing in a different uniform very shortly here, and it won't be for the Buffalo Bills. So this is fine right now because we're not engulfed in it, but this only seems to happen when they're not winning and he's not getting any of the attention. We'll see if they have figured out how to manage this ego of his as the season progresses.
Exactly. And also James Cook now saying, I am RB1 in Buffalo. Hey, Buffalo last year goes, hey, we might take a look at Alvin Kamara. Never pulled the trigger. Christian McCaffrey's on the market. Never pulled the trigger. We're always looking for that running back that can dominate for the Buffalo Bills. I don't know. Maybe a Dalvin Cook can certainly help them out because Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen are an unbelievable combo. Gabe Davis has filled in nicely there, getting those bits and pieces. And hey, everybody's worried about across the field there on Diggs. I can get open myself. The offense isn't the issue. We'll see if the defense does step up. But let's take a look here at the win total for the season on the Buffalo Bills. Listed at 10.5. And right away I go, whoa, 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 whoa. 11 wins for the Buffalo Bills is going to get it done. Where do I sign up? Then you realize the schedule is a little bit daunting, but also it starts in the division. The New England Patriots are the worst team in the division. That's a pretty good worst team in the division, even if you don't understand, like, hey, Mac Jones, we'll see what he does this year. It's still Bill Belichick. That's the worst it's going to get. Aaron Rodgers comes over from the Green Bay Packers now to the New York Jets. The Miami Dolphins, if Tua stays healthy for this season, which again is a big question mark, that's an elite, talented football team here in the NFL. And also, looking over the schedule itself, it's okay, open up against the Jets on the road. That's going to be a crazy environment in the Meadowlands. You get the Raiders at home, the Commanders, you should win. But get to the back part of that schedule, Joe. Take a look at this starting in late November. At the Eagles, at the Chiefs, home to the Cowboys, at the Chargers, Patriots at home, on the road against the Dolphins. So initially, again, you look at the 10.5 and say, boy, the talent is there. They should easily win and go 11-6 this season to cash in. But that's a daunting schedule. They need to be healthy, and they need to play really good.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, listen, they, as the season grows later, we know the Bills are built to win games in November, December, and January, right? Mm-hmm. We see the edges that they have, and they do. The schedule is a bit tough, but it's all going to be contingent upon them handling the games that they should win, right, Donnie, with these situations here. You got to win the games early in the season that you should be winning there. I do believe they're also, what, week five or week six, they're in London, so they do have a overseas game that they've got to go to. I believe they play, the AFC East plays the NFC East, so we're going to be looking at the Giants. That's going to be a battle of New York. They're going to be dealing with, of course, there's a lot. The schedule isn't great, but there are some pockets and opportunities where they can rack up the wins, provided they don't throw up all over themselves. They've been really good at not doing that, but they're at least early in the season. The biggest part of the Buffalo Bills usually comes in that midway point where the wheels start to fall off a little bit, and then McDermott's got to rally the troops again, and then they bounce back. It was a rough season like that last year, too, where they lost some games they should have won, and then the injury started to happen, and then, of course, the DeMar Hamlin thing. It started to snowball a little bit on them. So hopefully they're able to avoid that whole "what in the world are you doing, Buffalo" moments in the season, which they've had the last couple of years.
And Buffalo, another team this year, going over to London here. They're going to take on the Jaguars, then come home and play the Giants. No bye in between that, which is very interesting because most teams choose to go over there. They reset their season, but they're not going to do that. So we'll see if that plays out in the favor of the Buffalo Bills. Division winners here for the AFC East. We just talked about it. The Patriots, a plus 750 price, coming in fourth place in the odds market there. The Bills, again, the front runner, plus 130. The Jets, plus 250. And the Dolphins at a plus 290 price. There are a lot of question marks. How is Aaron Rodgers going to play with the Jets? Is Tua Tagovailoa going to stay healthy? And what are you getting out of the Patriots? Still, for me, I would bet the Buffalo Bills to win this division. But my goodness, you know, if the Jets are every bit as good as we think they could be with Aaron Rodgers, and the Miami Dolphins, again, if Tua stays healthy, you are going to be battle-tested every single week in this division. No longer, it was like back in the day where, hey, the Patriots go 5-1, worst-case scenario in the AFCs because everybody else stinks. Everybody should be a legitimate, quote-unquote, contender, probably outside of the Patriots.
Well, that's the problem, Donnie, is the Patriots. And I don't, what happens if D-Hop signs with the Patriots now, right? I mean, we're laughing as if Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are going to be, they're going to be a five-win team here this year. And that is a very dangerous road to go down, especially since the return of, you know, listen, say what you want about a head coach. Bill O'Brien is a hell of an offensive coordinator. He's got a young quarterback there. We've seen him do some amazing things with another young quarterback at one time there. So they have the pieces. They do need that wide receiver help as usual. If they go out and get that, nobody is walking over the Patriots is my point here. And we're all acting as if stick a fork in them, it's going to be an easy rollover. It's not. This division is loaded, and you better win the games you're supposed to win on the schedule. Otherwise, you finish second or third, and you're fighting for a playoff spot.
Josh Allen, three straight years of 35-plus touchdowns on the season. If you take a look at the odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, to win MVP, three guys tied at 7-1. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. The AFC quarterback certainly at the front of that rotation. The Buffalo Bills should certainly be interesting nonetheless. Major League Baseball, let's get a preview for today. A large card and a lot of good stuff. It's the Early Line on the Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game parlay, it's right here. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. Yes, that's where we're going. At the Coors Field tonight, the Dodgers are in town at that high elevation. The one thing that Joe and I always love is, what are those weather conditions out there? Just give me a nice night in Colorado. How about if I told you it would be close to 90 degrees at first pitch? That ball should be flying. Ooh. What if I gave you a pitcher that certainly is not an ace in Connor Seabold? I'm going to keep it simple tonight. Two guys to get RBIs tonight. It's Mookie Betts and it's Freddie Freeman. They'll bat 1-2 in the order, probably at least 5 at-bats apiece here. If we're looking at runs in a game that's probably going to feature close to 2 touchdowns, why not back the Dodgers with a full 9 at-bats no matter what happens tonight and go with a price point of a plus 223? Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Let's just take the Dodgers winning out of it altogether and let these guys get some RBIs. I think it makes some sense. Rocky Mountain High, Joe. That's where I'm going tonight.
I love it, Donnie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out west with you, though, and I'm going to look at my New York Yankees. Very simple here. Oakland is hot trash. And I love what Brito did coming out of that last outing that he had at Yankee Stadium. Absolutely locked down. So his strikeout prop 4.5 right now against an Oakland lineup. Let's be realistic here. I don't think you'll have a problem. And it's at a pretty good price, too. You get it at plus money right now to go up and over his 4.5 Ks. I got no problem with that. I got no problem backing the Yankees at a minus 135, minus 140 price, Donnie. And it's Oakland. Mm-hmm. And that Yankee lineup probably not going to hit a ton, and neither is Oakland, because I think Brito is going to dominate here. So I got no problem with backing the under 8 in this one. So give me the Yankees, give me the under, and give me Brito to get up and over that 4.5 strikeout prop.
There we go. On the march, the cashing in tickets. Heartbreaking headache last night. Those fortunes are going to change here. And by Wednesday morning, we should be cashing in some tickets here. Let's hit that Major League Baseball card tonight. Let's start once again in Baltimore. It's the Reds and the Orioles. Abbott is going to be on the mound here for the Reds. Wells on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. Favorite here for the Orioles, listed at a minus 142 price and a total that's listed at 8.5. Yesterday, we were in the double digits at around 10. So a better pitching match is going to be listed on the card tonight. At least we think. What are your early thoughts here? Reds, Orioles, Joe?
Well, Orioles, initial thought here that they should have the upper hand, both lineup-wise and certainly when it comes to bullpen-wise, right? The problem with the Reds right now is they're dealing with just a ridiculous amount of injuries to their young starting core, right? Ben Lively was supposed to be, you know, the up-and-coming guy, was going to help. He's hurt now. Hunter Green, he's on the shelf. Lodolo, he's been gone. So they're missing a lot of these arms they thought would be consistent. So they're kind of bringing guys up. They're mixing and matching. And this is a tough place to go, Donnie, as we saw last night. Tough place to go against a team at 48-29 on a season is crushing the ball and just got healthy, right? With Mullins now back up in a lineup, Santander is crushing the ball. Wouldn't mind maybe a hit prop for him, too. I'm sure you're looking at it as well. It's very hard not to look at the Orioles in this 135 to 140 price range. And while, yes, the Reds are certainly going to score runs, I think Baltimore, with a rested Batista in the back end of that bullpen, is definitely the side here. The question I have at 8.5 is, are we looking to go up and over this one as well, Donnie?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, too, because yesterday, even though you saw that price point, again, we did the show yesterday, it was 9.5. That always looks better than 10, which means 11 it takes to cash. It still went over the total, but today, a little bit different. I actually like the pitching matchups. If we take a look at Andrew Abbott, you know, young pitcher on the season, 92 batters he's faced. He's been great, Joe, with both lefties and righties. And keep in mind, he is a left-handed pitcher. First four guys in the lineup today that are due up for the Orioles, they've really done well against left-handed pitching. That's Hayes, Rutschman, Santander, and Hicks. But if we flip it over to Cincinnati, I love the way this offense profiles against right-handed pitchers, but Wells has been pretty solid as well, Joe. Take a look at these splits. ISO at 160 to lefties, 252 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 160 to lefties. That's fantastic for a right-handed pitcher. Gets himself into a little bit of trouble against right-handed batters with an elevated ISO power number at 241, but a manageable weighted on base percentage. We're waiting on those Reds bats to wake up. Only 3 runs last night. Can they do it today? 75 degrees, wind blowing out to right field. That is a hitter's ballpark, at least to right field anymore, as opposed to left field. We'll see if that holds up tonight, but not as confident for me, Joe, as going over the totals we certainly were yesterday. How about this? Can you be confident in taking the New York Mets? Can you be confident the Mets, once again, a favorite tonight at a minus 154 price? It's Teheran versus Peterson on the mound from Citi Field in Flushing, Queens. Brewers-Mets, a total that's listed at 9. I see the Mets are favored here. They're probably still a better overall team if you just look at it on paper, but trusting the Mets at this point is really hard to do. Mets back-to-back underwhelming performances for the New York Metropolitans. Do they break out today and at least pick up a win against the Milwaukee Brewers?
It's hilarious. Can somebody please tell me in what world we should be laying $1.50 with Peterson on the friggin' mound going up against a Brewers team that, listen, despite their deficiencies, is playing pretty good baseball right now. Plus, they got plenty of opportunity. They got plenty from Ray last night there. The bullpen did its job, so they'll be ready to go again the back end of that that Brewers bullpen. I do not understand why we, and Teheran, by the way, has been a pleasant surprise for them. If you'd have told them, and this was a flyer, they bought him up from what? They bought his contract out of a AAA team in San Antonio and was like, listen, we need help. Everyone's getting hurt. And he comes up and has a pretty good run here. Call me crazy here. There's only one way I'm looking. It ain't with catching the fallen knife that is the New York Mets. I am not laying money with Peterson on the mound of all people. Yeah, no, I would only look at the Brewers, and I would look at them early in the first five.
Yeah, it would be tough to back them. And again, just trying to, eventually they're going to break out and you're going to get value on the Mets. My goodness, right now, yesterday, scoring one run. Who's to say that offense just gets kept under wraps again? Julio Teheran, actually been really good since coming back to the major league. So watch out tonight. Twins and the Braves are going to do battle from the Big A tonight. Ryan on the mound versus Elder, a favorite here for the Atlanta Braves at a minus 148 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total that's listed at 9 tonight. So yesterday we got a great pitching matchup, 4-1. The game stays under the total. Could we be looking at more runs tonight between the Braves and the Twins?
Well, the only guy I would ever consider betting the Twins or backing at this point would be Ryan, right? He's the only guy I think that would be worth backing. Now, the good news is here, and I do believe, I mean, Elder has been pretty decent here so far for them, this young pitcher for the Braves. But you weren't going to beat Strider, right? So if you're going to come into it, you better beat Elder if you're going to do it. Now, the good news is the Twins hit much better and profile much better against righties than they do lefties. It's a little strange that way, but they certainly do. And I got the only way I can't trust the bullpen, we know that, of Minnesota. So it's Joe Ryan or bust for me. It's Minnesota first five, or it's a pass here at this point.
Yeah, Joe Ryan's been very good. Take a look at his season in totality. 365 batters he's faced on the season. A 108 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 243. If we take that into just the last month in Major League Baseball, a 139 ISO and a 243, once again, weighted on base percentage. So he's going up against an elite offense tonight. And also, one of the things we always like to check in Atlanta, what's the temperatures? 84 degrees with a wind blowing out. So we'll see if that makes a difference tonight, but certainly a fun matchup nonetheless. Talking about another fun matchup, it could be Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers taking on the Colorado Rockies, and Connor Siebold, a monster very rare you see this, a minus 300 favorite for a road baseball team. And again, it's not as if, you know, Kershaw is going to, let's just say, Arizona or San Francisco, a pitcher's ballpark. You got a minus 300 in Coors Field and a total that's listed at 12. So just extrapolating from those numbers, it looks like they expect the Dodgers to do a lot of the heavy lifting on those 12 runs here, Joe.
Well, and so here, I looked at this last night, Don, because this was a game I was trying to see if it was worth getting into with, you know, minus $3 here. So, no, I don't want to lay minus $3 with the Dodgers. However, I looked at the weather and game time temperature, 92 degrees.
Here we
go. In Colorado. So, yeah, I took the over 11 and a half last night because I think ultimately we might get 18 runs in this game from both teams. I don't think it's going to be just the Dodgers contributing here with that kind of humidity, that kind of altitude and weather. It is ripe for Home Run Fest USA here tonight, which all I need the Dodgers to do is score your usual 8 to 10 runs in Colorado, mm-hmm. and I think they will. But don't forget, Colorado over the last couple of years has been a nemesis to this Dodger team. They've done a pretty good job of handling Kershaw and the Dodgers over the last couple of years when you least expect it. So don't sleep on them, but I do think we're getting runs tonight.
Yeah, don't sleep on this either. It is a 12, so basically you're going to need close to 2 touchdowns. But having said that, oh, man, let's just go with the Dodgers team total here. 4.5, 5, ooh. 6, no, 7, no, 7.5, nope. You need to score 8 runs. 8 runs to cash a team total tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, yes, we are excited about runs tonight, but when you put it into saying, well, how many do I need? You need 8 to cash. That's a lot of runs, but I got to tell you, if let's just say the proverbial free bet's out there for the Dodgers, I'm going to probably take them getting 8 or more runs tonight against a bad pitcher mm-hmm. in great hitting conditions in Colorado. We'll see how that one plays out. How about the White Sox and Angels last night going way under the total? Do they stay there tonight? The total is listed at 8, and the Angels, a -205 price. Why is that? Shohei Ohtani is on the mound going up against Michael Kopech tonight. I like the way that offense profiles against Kopech, but Kopech has been decent here. After struggling to start the season, sort of rounding back into fortune, is it hard to go against Ohtani, or is that price right? Or maybe just looking at a total in this game for you, Joe.
No, because all the signs of regression are there for Ohtani here, Donnie. And I do think he is going to have some issues here at one point. He has not been as good pitching the ball as he's certainly been hitting the ball, but his last couple mm-hmm. of starts have been suspect. He is what feels like a start away from being one of those where he doesn't last to the fifth inning. This could be the game here tonight with this White Sox lineup. So I would only take the White Sox in this one, maybe even grabbing that 1.5.
Ohtani got back last game. 12 Ks, 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run against the Dodgers. We'll see what he does tonight, but that'll do it for the show here on a Tuesday. I'm going to close it down here with a little Jets talk, but that's Joe Ranieri. And guess what? 3 straight for Joe Ranieri. He'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be right back here with Listen Up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for the Early Line Tuesday Morning Edition, SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe and Donnie today powering through for the past 2 hours, setting the table for the best and brightest hot topics on the day, which, by the way, going to continue right into the Early Line here tomorrow. Yes, Joe Ranieri will be back. TMA coming up next with Ben Stevens, so make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network and don't miss out on anything here. Talked about a lot of topics that including, you know how excited I am for the NFL season. Coming up, we previewed the Buffalo Bills certainly should be a player in the AFC as long as Josh Allen, your quarterback, and also Stephon Diggs can certainly be on the same page once again this year. Talking about the NBA, we are going to just get started in this trade market here. Collins on the move to Utah. We'll see how that affects both the Atlanta Hawks and the Utah Jazz, but we're waiting on Dame Lillard, Zion Williamson. What's going to take place? Who's going anywhere? We're going to know that shortly with the free agency period being opened up in the NBA soon. But again, getting back to football, I know it's Major League Baseball season, but if we're taking a look, the Jets, they don't want to be on Hard Knocks, but I don't think they have a choice. Listen up. Yes, headlines read, the Jets don't want Hard Knocks. The Jets are bracing for an involuntary Hard Knocks assignment. They don't want to be there. They've made it known. Head coach Robert Saleh basically said, hey, look, there's a lot of other teams that would love to be on Hard Knocks. It's just not going to be us. Now, there is a criteria meant for Hard Knocks. It's not just an NFL team reaching out to the NFL ownership groups and saying, hey, you know what? Let us be on Hard Knocks, and hopefully Roger Goodell will approve that. If you're missing the playoffs, you don't have a new coach, you're eligible for Hard Knocks. 4 teams this year. The Jets, Saints, Bears are looking like they were going to be in on it, along with the Commanders. The Commanders, by the way, the only team that actually said they would think about it and might want to do it. The Saints and Bears have told they don't want to do it, which includes the New York Jets. But good for us. The NFL goes, well, you fit the criteria. You're the most intriguing team by far. this short list, you are going to be on Hard Knocks. Let's hope it's the Jets. Let's see Aaron Rodgers there. Let's see Robert Saleh. Let's see that New York marketplace. I'm ready. Are you? Ben Stevens coming up next.